We're so grateful. It's such a great honor to know you and to have the privilege of the freedom of being able to share your word without intimidation, without fear, without war, without civil disruption. We don't take these things for granted. We're very grateful. We enter your word this morning with the reverence that it deserves. We're fully conscious of the limitations of our human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. We certainly need your help to unravel it. And so we pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that I might speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of every person that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who hear me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the world, on all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of this word, or the things that they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. That God, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, amen. We continue our study this morning in the book of James. In our last lesson, we actually almost concluded James chapter 2. So we'll just wrap that up and go into chapter 3. This is one of the most significant portions of scripture in the New Testament, in the whole Bible, really, because James, in this chapter 2, going into chapter 3, gives us the key by the Holy Spirit to the root. He tells us what is the root of everything that is happening around us. And if we can get this and major on it, or every other thing will truly fall into place. Now, in at the close of chapter 2, he tells us that faith without works, modern translation will say corresponding actions, is dead. True faith always shows up by some corresponding action. See, faith is a spiritual thing because it's in the heart. You can't see it, but you can see the action. That it, if it's truly in the heart, you will see the action that faith produces. A faith that does not culminate in some action is a dead faith. It's dead. In other words, it may have started in the heart, but it dies in the heart and it never translates into action or and ultimately brings a physical manifestation of what God intended. Are you listening? You see, you can believe, but if you believe and that belief does not translate into action, into some action, I'll explain that in a minute, you know, that believing will never bring about a physical manifestation of what you believe. So even though the faith may be there, it dies in the heart. It's one of those reasons, and this is so fundamental, you know, that Paul said this. He said, with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth, confession is made unto. Speaking is an act of faith. It's an action. If you have faith and you never say it with your mouth, the faith will die in your heart. Are you listening to me? For instance, when you get born again, a change takes place in your heart. Truly, it does. You know, however, as you say it and act upon it, then people will hear you. How do people know? Well, let me use myself as an example, that I had got born again. I began to say so. I didn't just say, well, I had an experience, but I began to affirm that experience. And then other actions followed. My lifestyle changed. I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing the things young boys we used to do back in those days. You know, and people could testify, you know, and say, yes, you have changed. You know, and then later on, you know, I got, you know, baptized in water. Water baptism is an act of faith. If you don't believe in your heart, you won't get baptized in water. When you get baptized in water, it's a physical action, it's a ceremony, you know, that shows that you believe Jesus died, so you go into the water down, then you come up with him, that, and you believe he was raised from the dead. It's a physical action, but it's an act of faith. If you truly believe, you will be baptized. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch. Once Philip spoke to him, and very interesting, the Bible says that the guy was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. He didn't know what it was. He didn't understand it, you know. So he now was asking God, the Holy Spirit took Philip, you know, supernaturally, you know, translated him from where he was to where the man was in the chariot. So he said, do you understand what you're saying? He said, how can I understand except somebody explains it to me? The Bible tells us this. It's wonderful scripture. He says, beginning at the same scripture, he preached Jesus unto him. Now, Jesus was not in that scripture. But he was. Because Jesus was the person Isaiah was writing about. But he didn't just preach Jesus. He also explained to him the necessity of being baptized in water. Because the next thing that the man said, he said, you know, there is water here. What stops me from being baptized? Now, you know, so we know that in the New Testament, if you preach Jesus properly, you will preach water baptism. Thank God for the Baptists. We're on the same page with all our Baptist friends on that. Praise the Lord. You know, and the man, and you know what Philip said? If you believe with all your heart, yes. Because the man really believed. So it translated into action. If you really believe, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you believe it, the action will show by the tongues you speak. Amen. That's the physical corresponding action. You can't say, oh, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, and then you just have it in your heart. Yes, I know you're filled, but let me see the action. See, faith always translates into action. The action is what men can see. You see, I can't see your heart, but I can see your actions. So if you want to really show me your faith, the way I'm going to see it is by the action that corresponds to the faith inside your heart. He says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And like James sarcastically says, he says, will thou know, O vain man, that even the devils believe and they tremble. So just this general believing God. You know, a lot of people, I believe in God. You know, if you meet people, they'll say, you know, I'm not an atheist. I'm not a heathen. I believe in God. Yeah, sure you do. But how do you believe in him? And how does that believing in God translate and change your behavior? And change your life? If it's not changing your life, then your believing in God is vain. Sure you believe in God. But the Bible says, don't you even know, even the devil believes in God. And the devil is still the devil. And they tremble. So, dearly beloved, our faith must translate into action. And I said this last time. I'll just reiterate it and hit it running. Two things. One, praying in the Spirit and walking in love. Now, there's a lot in all of that, but I have, by the help of the Holy Spirit, summarized it into those two things. True faith, I'm talking about Bible faith, faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true God, the God who made heaven and earth. I'm saying that deliberately because they are false gods. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah, so are you listening to me? They are false gods. No, they're not gods really. But Satan always tries to parade himself as if he's God. And he certainly has some power, which God gave him, which he has distorted. Amen. That's why, you know, I find it very instructive the way the Apostle John, you know, ends 1 John. He says, this is the true God. It means there are false ones and eternal life. If it's the true God, it will tell you about eternal life. And that eternal life is only present in Jesus Christ. Any other God is a false God. Take it to the bank. Any other God. If he does not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead, you know, and came in the flesh to die for the sins and thereby made eternal life available to humanity, is not the true God. Take it to the bank. Amen. You know, there are some things we need to get settled in our hearts and minds. You know, Jesus is God. Oh. He's not just some nice carpenter, you know, and some, you know, great prophet or the greatest expression of deity in humanity and all kinds of, you know, the highest grand master. There are all kinds of appellations, you know, different cults will tell you things about. They acknowledge Jesus and say, yes, yes, Jesus came. He was a good example. He's the best Christian that could ever be, blah, blah, blah. He's much more than that. Yeah, sure, he's our pattern son, but he's much more than that. He is God. I like John. Thank God for John's gospel. You see, John's gospel puts to rest any type of argument. In the beginning was the Word. But it didn't stop there. And the Word was God. And it didn't stop there. And the Word was with God. And without him was not anything made that was made. But it didn't stop there. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, that's a complete picture. Jesus is God. But he's not the only person of the Godhead. He was also with God. And it is only in Jesus that there is life. When we talk about life now, we're not talking about breathing and eating and microorganisms. We're not using the biological definition of life where you reproduce, you know, there is definition of any living thing. It must have respiration and reproduction, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about that. It's not a biology class. Amen. I'm talking about the real life. The Zoe, hallelujah, the very life of God, amen. And it's only that life that can change the human heart. The problems we're having today, somebody called me last week, they invited me somewhere, went with Pastor Andrew, they said I should come and teach or preach and moderate a bunch of pastors, you know, in times like this, and how the Bible, you know, the relevance of the Bible in times like this. And I quoted from 2 Timothy. It says, in the end time, perilous times shall come. Men shall be fierce, incontinent, truce breakers, you know, murderers of fathers, men stealers. You know, you don't have to read the Bible. Just watch CNN. You can see. When a husband and a wife will leave their 6-month-old baby and go with machine gun and go and kill their fellow workers that they were in a party with. These are people they've been with them all this time. You know, the man who has been working, everybody's is such a quiet man. He's such a nice man. He's such a, you know, easy to get along with. The heart. This terrorism fight is a fight of the heart. Oh. We're not going to fight it with bullet and gun. It's going to take God to go into the hearts of men. Because what has happened now, what we're seeing in the end time, is a greater, it's always been there, but it's been latent. But now it's rising. We are now seeing the outward growth of the satanic nature. It's now coming out where you can now say, this is the devil. It's always been there. But it's been subdued. But now it's coming out. Only the devil. Only the devil. It's unbelievable. Only the devil can wake up. Yeah, wake up in the morning. Huh? They said he was in the party. Somebody said something. He was angry. He went back, went to where? Complete battle fatigue with him and the wife. Came in there, innocent people. And just began to spray and shoot all of them. Then went home to go and reload. To go and recharge. Was coming back. Thank God the police was able to stop him. Put a bomb there. But it didn't detonate. That's not natural. That's not the way God made man. That's the devil. The Bible says he has come down to earth. Yes, he's here now with us. He's always been with us. No, but what I'm saying is that it takes God's nature to change the heart of man. No ideology can change the heart of man. No philosophy can change the heart of man. No religion can change the heart of man. Only eternal life. They will soon wake up and come to that realization. They are still talking philosophy, psychology. You know, send the psychologists and the psychoanalysts to go and counsel the guy. Maybe when he was a small boy, his mommy dropped him on the floor. Madness. Brethren, faith without works is dead. So the true faith will show up in corresponding actions. Confession of the mouth, praying in the spirit, and acts of love. These acts of love, that's a very broad spectrum. You know, it may just be doing something like giving something to people, giving food to them, giving money to them. That's a small thing, you know. There could be many other things, you know. The Holy Spirit will now nudge you as to what to do in each situation to cause that faith to translate from a spiritual reality into a physical manifestation. You know, basically that's what faith is all about. It's trusted in the reality of what God has said that is a spiritual reality that is not manifest yet to the physical senses. And then you want to translate it. The word translate means to move. You want to move it from the spiritual realm into the physical realm where it now manifests and you can actually experience that reality that has already been said. That's what faith is. And for faith to produce, you have to say it. Say it with your mouth. Also say it in tongues, because tongues is just the details of what you've said with your mouth, you know. And then acts of love, because faith worketh by love. Corresponding physical actions, when all that thing synergizes together and acts in concert, it will cause a physical manifestation. And that's what James is saying here. So he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Let me just make a small comment on that and I go on. This physical body is one of the most wonderful, intricate machines. I use the word machine, you know, in a scientific kind of sense. It's actually a biophysical electronic machine. Yeah, inside this body you've got electrical circuits, you've got biological, you know, I use the word biology in terms of cells and tissue and you know, the bone and marrow and tissue and all of that. You know, you've got a biological part of the body. You've got the electrical part of the body. You've got the mechanical part of the body. And God now put the whole thing together. And that's why the Bible says, "I'm wonderfully and fearfully made." Now, one thing the scientists don't understand, or I don't know whether I should use that word, I say refuse to, because they can if they want to. God will show it. God is not, God says he upbraideth not. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. God will show you. Amen? The few who have gotten a few things, they asked and God showed them. You know, anyway, the point here is this. As wonderful as this body is, the doctors here will tell us, you know, the way you're, you know, even started, let's start from the embryonic stage where the sperm, you know, fertilizes the egg inside the womb of the lady, of the woman, you know, and then it attaches itself to the uterus, you know, and it happens the same way. It's a computer program. The thing will just, you know, after a while, it will just divide. And it's timed. That's why you can go to the doctor and he'll use the ultrasound. And he will be able to tell you after 6 weeks, after 4 weeks, you know, they can detect, you know, a pregnancy, usually 6 weeks you can confirm. But it's been there before the 6 weeks. You know, and the thing begins to divide. And now the certain cells will just go and form the eye. Then I will form the brain. Then I will form the something. Each one, as if somebody is telling it what to do. Somebody is telling it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Begins to, you know, and over the 9 month period, that thing that does not look like a human being at the beginning, it's just an egg. Suddenly, it has this funny form. Then you see the big head. Then after a while, you know, you see it, you know. Wonderful. Wonderful. That should make a believer out of any honest person. And it happens like that all the time. We are 7 billion people on the earth today. Forget the ones that have died, that are presently alive. 7 billion. Do you understand? And it has happened exactly for each person. No mistake. Ah. Can you see that hasn't gotten to do anything with chance? That's design. That's creation. That's design. Now, the point I want to make is this. The thing that makes that thing work is a spiritual thing that they can't understand. Because if your body is in its perfect condition physically, you understand, you know, the lungs are there, the blood vessels are there, everything, nothing wrong with you, and the man dies, all that intricate electrical biological, you know, system just stops working. Nobody understands why. You take the spirit out, and that body just becomes a lifeless form. Put the spirit back into it, and all of a sudden, all those functions, all that is there, begins to function again. That's why the Bible says, the body without the spirit is dead. It's actually God, the God via the human spirit, that is giving life, that's given power to, that's powering this intricate system. This is just by honest observation. Honest observation. You take a man. Now, don't do this. It's just an experiment. It's a thought experiment. Now, you mustn't, don't go and say, Pastor. Like me, for example, let me use myself. So you won't say I'm saying negative about you. And there's nothing negative about what I'm saying. You know, I mean, I'm not going to do this. I'm breathing now. I'm fine. You know, my brain, everything is working. If you close my nostrils, you hold it for about 5 minutes, I die physically. I'm not going to die, but, you know, I know we can get so religious and superstitious. I'm just using, I want to make a point. Nothing, you know, you could say, okay, if they shot a bullet or something, you know, and something got destroyed. Nothing is destroyed. Same heart, same eyes, same function. The only thing that you just stopped was the breathing process so that oxygen, you know, was no longer circulating. Keep that thing just for 5 minutes. Do you understand? That body, the chemical, the biochemical system in that body will be such that it will deteriorate. Once the spirit man checks out, once the spirit leaves the body, do you understand? The thing that was working fungal, and then go and put oxygen back inside.
body, take it to the hospital, connect oxygen, connect an oxygen tank and pump it back.
It will answer you.
So it was not just the oxygen. There was something else. Because if it was just the oxygen, if you connect it back and put the oxygen back, it should start working again. Seller. So let's go and think. The body without the spirit is dead. What is making this thing work is more than just the biological and yes, all of that. But all that, there is something behind it that's making it work. That thing is the human spirit that has a link with God. And it's God's power via the human spirit that's keeping the whole thing working. That's why we need to honor God and fear God.
Hello, somebody. So faith without works is dead. Now, chapter 3. Let's start there. This is the most instructive verse portions of scripture because it tells the secret of every physical circumstance.
My brethren,
I did not hear you.
Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things,
I didn't hear you,
we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle or to control the whole body. Right there, God gives you the Holy Spirit through James. He tells us how to enter perfection. You know how you enter perfection? Start saying the right things. And never say the wrong things. That's the summary. But analyze it. That's what he just said. If you don't offend anyone, you'll be perfect. So how do I get perfect? Let me start saying the right things. And then I don't say the wrong things. Now I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let me just quickly drop this for you. Do you know that every sin of commission has at its bottom a sin of omission? So it's not just that you did the wrong thing. The reason why you did the wrong thing was that there was a right thing you should have done that you didn't do that made you do the wrong thing. You need to think. In the Garden of Eden, the reason why Adam and Eve were successfully tempted by Satan through the snake, you know, why the temptation to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the only reason why he succeeded was because they hadn't eaten the tree of life. Had they eaten the tree of life, they would have had the knowledge of good and evil by revelation, and they would have seen through the temptation and never done it. Amen. That was why God put the two trees in the middle of the garden. To attract their attention. Oh, what a strange command. Put two trees inside the middle. Then say, this tree of knowledge and good, don't eat that one. Then be quiet about the second tree. Then, no. He wasn't quiet. He said it implicitly, but not explicitly. You know what he said? He said, you can eat of all, including tree of life. Then to attract their attention, they put two of them inside the middle. What was God trying to do? He was trying to get their attention. Go and eat of the tree of life. Go and eat of the tree of life. Go and eat of... Had they eaten of the tree of life, they would have had the knowledge of good and evil by revelation. Knowledge of good and evil was not evil. You know why? God has it. And God is not evil. He said, man is now become like one of us to know good and evil. But he now got it through the senses instead of getting it by revelation. For example, today now, I know that arsenic will kill me. I don't know it by experience. I know it by revelation. I know if you go to the top of UCH and jump down, you will die. I don't have to go and jump from the top of UCH and die before I know that. It's by revelation. You can know about evil without doing evil. So God wanted them to have the knowledge of good and evil without experiencing the evil. God has the knowledge of good and evil, and God has never done evil. Amen. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But he still has the knowledge of good and evil. Because what is evil? Good was what God created. But by creating anything, the capacity for evil was there. What is evil? It's simply a distortion of good. When you take anything good and you push it upside down, then it becomes evil. When it's different from what the Creator designed it to be. That's the definition. That is the textbook baseline fundamental definition of evil. So who decides what is right and what is wrong? The Creator. Yes, sir. Not you. Amen. So when God said man and woman will marry, that is good. Man, man, evil. Woman, woman, evil. Who said? Creator, designer. End of story. That's why I don't want to end of story. And that's why you can look at it in your body. Even the anatomy, you can see that the way it is designed is contrary to nature. There's something wrong. It's the devil. This one don't need any big philosophy. It's not rocket science. Yes, clear common sense. Bible says Satan has blinded the minds. So what is even obvious is no longer obvious. May God have mercy on us. So if any man offend not in word, I didn't hear you. The same is a perfect man and able also to bridle. The word bridle is taken from, where you do a horse. The whole body. So if you don't want to say the wrong thing, always say the right things. Whenever you say the wrong thing, it's because you did not say all the right things you should have said that would have stopped you from saying the wrong thing. Hence, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it. He's saying, if you keep saying the right thing, you will never say the wrong thing, and you will never do the wrong thing. Amen. The word is not hard. It's not. He said, I won't tell you a secret. God told us, come. I'll tell you the secret. He said, this word is not in heaven that they have to go and bring it for you. It's not under the earth. It's very simple. It's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart that thou mayest do it. If you keep saying it, you don't omit saying it, you will not say the wrong thing. If you don't say the wrong thing, you will not do the wrong thing. And you will control your whole body. It's really, dearly beloved, as simple as that. It's really as simple. The sad truth is that men just don't take God seriously. The man said, no wonder why he said, don't let it depart out of your. He knows what he's talking about. Because once there is an omission, then there will be a commission. If there is no omission, if you keep saying the right things, you will never say the wrong thing and you will not do the wrong thing. If you're doing the wrong thing, go and check it out. You did not say the right thing. There was an omission that caused the commission. It's a law. Go and do the research. Go after this Bible study. Go and take your Bible and find out if Brother Olubi is just talking his own. And go and find out, check the scriptures if these things are so. It's the truth. Behold, I didn't hear you. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about. Watch this. Their whole body. You know how big a horse is? You know how strong a horse is? But look at the little thing that you use to control the horse. It's just a bit in the mouth. Oh, I'm going to be talking about this man later on today, E.W. Kenyon. He wrote a book I read very early in my Christian life. It's called The Father and His Family. As far as I'm concerned, it should be compulsory reading. But then I don't have that authority. I don't have that power yet. I have the authority, but the time will come soon in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me tell you, he was talking about creation. He said, how come
when you look at the horse, how come this place is empty so that they can put the bit there? Who designed that? There is evolution. Don't be stupid. How come it's like that for the horse and not for the dog? So of course somebody designed it. Because he knew that the horse was going to be an important animal for transportation for many years before man got the knowledge of cars. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, or you can see the boats, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds. I didn't hear you. Yet, are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor, the captain, you know, listeth, or wherever he wants to go. You know, this is a big boat, just a small rudder. You turn it like this, the boat will go this way. You turn it like this, the boat will go that way. I remember many years ago, we went on one of our missionary trips to Kogi State, and we had to go across a river to one other place where there were some of the brethren, you know. So we had to use a canoe, you know. And when we entered in with some of the brethren, you know, I think Pastor Larry and I don't know if Pastor Andrew was, you know, well, we all went anyway, you know. So when the man started to, there was no motorboat. It was just his paddle and his oar he was using. I was watching. I was very, very interested. You know, he looked at the current. We were going over here, opposite. But he didn't go opposite. He started going in that direction. But I'm going here. The man has experience. He's been doing this, you know. He directed the boat in a way such that when you take the vector of where he's going and the vector of the current, it will bring you back there. If you go there straight, you won't get there. You'll get over there. That's why I shouldn't believe in only what you can see. Hello, somebody. You know, life is like that. Prayer is like that. God is going here, but he doesn't take you there. He takes you that way. Because there are all kinds of spiritual forces in the air. So when you begin to pray and God mixes everything together, he will now move it back. All things work together for good. For I know the thoughts I have towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. God, this way I want to go. God, I know, chill. I know what I'm doing. It doesn't look as if you're going the same, but I'm taking you there. But we can't go straight. Because if we go straight, you won't get there. You're going to go like that. So I have to take you like this. Trust me. It's called faith. He says, when you were small, you went where you wanted. But when you grow up, as you grow up spiritually and you have more sense, you allow him to take you in the way that you don't want. But he's going to bring you back to an expected end. You do not know the wind velocity in the spiritual realm. But God does. Why don't you just trust him? He's far smarter than you. Trust me. Trust me. Am I talking to anybody here? Behold also the ships. And where? Okay, verse 5. Even so, I didn't hear you. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter. That's Old King James. In the New Testament, it says how great a forest. You know, a little fire kindled. You see it in California all the time. You know, in Australia, all these forest fires. It's not somebody else. You don't need any big petrol and pour it, you know, and start a big fire. No! Sometimes it's just dried leaves. You know, like in the Hamatan now. you know, and the weather outside is hot and it's dry. Now, take that dry leaf, you know, and let sunshine hit it at a particular angle. Or somebody drops a piece of glass, like a magnifying glass, and it focuses the rays of the sun. That's no big deal. And it just starts a small spark. It will catch the next leaf. It will catch the next leaf. It will catch, before you know it, you got a forest fire. Some of them are deliberate, they're arson. Some of them are just natural. Well, still the same old devil. You understand? Just a small spark. And the fire just spread all over the whole place. That's what God is a principle he's trying to teach us. That's why I said it's one of the most significant. It's not the most important. I mean, everything in scripture is important in its place. It's one of the most significant scriptures you can learn. He says, how great. He says, a whole forest. It's just a small something. Now, let's get the bottom line. Then I will try and conclude. And we'll take it in our next class from here. You know, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter, or a forest, a little fire kindleth. Verse 6. This is the key. The tongue is a what? Is a what? Is a what? A world of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members. Talking about your physical, you know, of physical body. That it defileth. I didn't hear you. The whole body, and set it on fire, the course of nature. It's not natural, oh. No, I know it's natural. But there's something that's setting natural events into motion. If every Christian can understand this principle, you'll be so careful. You know, I'm dying to see that film. Don't die to see it, oh. Live to see it. You're killing yourself. Your own mouth. And it doesn't matter. God knows I didn't mean that. The angels and the ministering spirits in the realm of the spirit, they don't know all that. All they know is what's coming out of your mouth. Yes. The message, thank you, Bimbo. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. Open your mouths. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, and set the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Give the Lord a clap offering. You don't get better than that. Now, it captured the spirit of that scripture. Watch your mouth, man. A careless or wrongly placed word. I don't know where this problem is coming from. I do. You. Yes. You create your own world. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your daddy. It's not your mommy. It's not you. You know what you are today? A sum total of everything you have been thinking and saying. You know what you're going to be tomorrow? I don't have to be a prophet. All I have to do is listen to you. Amen. What you're going to be tomorrow is being determined by what you are thinking and what you are saying today. You don't like where you are now, change what you think and change what you say. And it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7, God help me. For every kind of beasts, I didn't hear you, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. Not just by natural human power, but the tongue. But the tongue, but the tongue, but the tongue can no man tame. It is what? An unruly evil full of deadly poison. I'm going to stop there because we will take this in our next lesson. But let me bring this out to you. Now, listen to this. I heard Kenneth Copeland preach this many years ago. He didn't say the tongue cannot be tamed, because the carnal mind will go away with that. The Bible says the tongue can no man tame. Yeah, I know that's what he said, but that's not what he's saying. That's the letter. Do you understand? He's just saying that no man by his own power can tame the tongue. But you can tame your tongue by the Holy Ghost. Incidentally, that's why he gave us tongues. He gave you tongues to tame your tongue. Isn't it wonderful? Look at that. The reason why when the Holy Ghost comes, the first thing he takes over is your tongue. So that it will no longer be set on the fire of hell. It will now be set on the fire of heaven. There are two kinds of fire. You are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Instead of using a destructive fire, now let us use a fire that is from heaven. The fire of the glory of God. The fire. It's the same fire. No, not the same fire. But it's fire. But instead of it being set on the fire of hell, why don't you set your tongue on the fire of heaven? So only speak from heaven. And start speaking from hell. Shall we go a step further? The real problem is not the tongue, it's the heart. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you will put heaven into your heart, the only thing that will come from your tongue will be the fire of heaven. Amen. If hell is still coming out of your mouth, you have not put heaven in your heart. When we say heart now, we're not just talking about your spirit, we're talking about the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. It's the whole thing is a cycle, Pastor G. That's the whole thing. You know, no wonder why the man said, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Put it inside your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Once I by the mercy and the grace of God, I'm growing. I'm not perfect yet, but God has had mercy on me. You know, before you hear me say anything negative, you will, I don't even know what can do it. God forbid. I have programmed myself over the years. It wasn't automatic. At the worst, I was just say, glory be to God. God's in control. Everything's going to be okay. I trust. You know, you hardly ever hear me say things like, I hope. I trust. I take my faith from hope to trust. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Is there hope? Yes, there is hope. You know, for some that's in the future. But while I'm here, you know, there's hope at the resurrection and all of that. But and then, of course, there's hope for perfection. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I want to translate that hope into a faith that will be real now. See, many times people use the word hope as a cloak for unbelief. He doesn't really believe it. We hope so. We hope so. You don't believe it. Even the way they will say it, you know, betrays. I hope. Why don't you say I trust? I trust God is working on that situation. It will work out fine. All is well. Like that woman, say it is well. How is the child? It is well. What was she doing? She was putting the fire of heaven. She was changing the course of natural events. The child had died. But she would not let that thing come out of her mouth. Say, it is well. It is well. How is it well? How is the child? It is well. When the girl died,
Jesus said, she's sleeping. You don't hear, you will not hear death from Jesus' mouth. Ah! But she's dead. I said, she's sleeping. Of course he knew she was dead. Even with Lazarus. He said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. And I go to awaken him. I say, ah, if he sleeps, he's dead. What? Now, Jesus said he's dead. He was factual about it. You know, he said, but I go to awaken him. He learned to use his words to change natural situations. We don't live in denial. Yes, this is true. But by speaking the right words, I can release the power of God, the power of heaven, to change that natural circumstance. So instead of allowing my circumstances to be set on the fire of hell, I allow my circumstances to be aligned with the fire of heaven. Amen. You know, fire pass fire. Oh, yes, don't go to mountain of fire, but that's just I couldn't help that. That's a good joke. Amen. You know, may God help us understand what we are talking about. You know, we just talk. You know, it's true. So as Christians, what we must learn to do, and we'll look at this more in our next lesson, is we have to learn how to put the life of God, the power of God into our hearts, so that what comes out of our mouth is always from God and not from hell. The natural man, watch this. The natural man and the natural Christian, I said it deliberately. Deliberately. This James 3 was not written to unbelievers. So don't think, oh well, you know, I'm a Christian and I have the life of God in me, and therefore I'll just be No. Otherwise there was no reason for him to write it. In fact, that's what he says. Later on we'll read that. He said, these things ought not so to be. He said, Can bitter water come from the same place? But it's happening. Christians is not Christian talking rubbish all the time. So we must learn by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the main reason why he gave us tongues. If you can't see anything positive, talk in tongues. At least you are sure that fire is not from hell. When you are emotionally and you are angry and people have done all kinds of things and this whole situation is negative and all of that, you know, there's some very simple things you can do. Father, thank you. If you can't say anything good, just say, Father, thank you. Start talking tongues. That's why he gave you tongues. To tame that tongue. So that you won't be speaking from hell, you'll be talking from heaven. Because when you're speaking in tongues, it's the Holy Ghost speaking through you. Hello, somebody. I know it's easier said than done. Because under pressure, we would have even said 1 million things before we even remembered the Holy Ghost or Pastor Lubi or church. You know. Don't worry, there's hope. Thank God for the blood. Just say, Father, I confess my sins. I'm so sorry, Lord. Oh, yeah, Holy Ghost, let's start. Let's start again. You know, the thing about God is that God is merciful. You say, okay. He said, I understand. He said, but next time, why don't you consult me first? And if I was in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And don't just open your mouth. Ask me first. Ask me first before you open that silly mouth. Hello, somebody. Amen. So you can say only what I would say. That's what Jesus would do. I always ask, you know, when he said, this woman is caught in adultery. If it was you and I, the Moses said, would have quoted scripture and finished the woman, killed everybody along. Jesus didn't answer them. He was consulting. And when he got the wisdom from God, he did not contradict Moses. He only said that the first person that has no sin, let him stone the woman. And I'm watching here. Because I've got word of knowledge. And I know all the things you guys did last night. Oh yeah, start. Hello, somebody. Amen. The key to this whole thing, that's why it's one of the most significant scriptures in the Bible, you know, is to learn to control the heart
through the word and the spirit and the blood. And then you would then control the tongue. If you will learn to say only the right things, you will never say the wrong things, and you will never do the wrong things. That's perfection. That's perfection. That's it right there. Not only that, you see, you even control, you control your whole body. All the feelings, the emotions, the Pastor G, I've never seen this before. It just hit me now. You know what I'm saying? Even, you know, when we always think of controlling the body, we're always thinking of sin and adultery and fornication and control. That's part of it. But you know, if you're controlling the whole body, you even control the health of the body. Oh. Do you understand? I bridle the body to health. Not only will it not sin, it will also not be sick. By the power of the word in my mouth. Let us pray. Talk to God. Bridle the whole body. Control it from sin. Control it from sickness. Has no right. Am I talking to anybody here? Able also to bridle, not only control the body from sin, but control the body from sickness. So the body can do what it's like. The cells in your body can start wrongly dividing into cancer and misbehaving all that. Bridle it! Control it.
Draw me close to you, Lord.
Never let me go.
hand on your mouth and then raise your other hand to God. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle James, who incidentally was Jesus' brother, so I'm sure writing this epistle and looking back over the years, because they all grew up in the same house, he noticed that thing about Jesus. If any man does not offend in word, the same is a perfect man. He saw it in action over a 30-year period with his senior brother. Jesus never said the wrong things all those years. If Jesus said it's going to rain, it will rain. If Jesus said Uncle Sam is going to come from Jerusalem, he will come. Somehow, anything that boy said, because he was speaking from heaven. That's why James can write it. He could write it. He said, if any man offend not in word, say the same as a perfect man. He's able to control the whole body, both from sin, impulses of sin, as well from sickness. All those 30 years, Jesus was never sick. 30 years. He said, this is my brother. I want to be like him. Raise that hand. We're going to pray in a second, a few seconds is more accurate, you know, but I want you to, in your heart, I've given you a key this morning by the Holy Spirit. The key is commission and not omission. What I mean by that is that you fill your heart and mouth with the right things. Forget about the negative things. They will go themselves. See, every sin of commission is first of all a sin of omission. So if a man does not offend in word, that is, if he keeps saying the right things, he won't say the wrong things, then he won't do the wrong things. So make a fresh commitment to God to keep his word and his spirit always in your heart and mouth. It comes back to all these instructions we've been giving, you know, once every 6 hours, reading the word every day, you know, speaking God's word, praying in tongues frequently. That's it. If you maintain that tempo, if you keep the word in your heart and you keep it in your mouth, you won't offend. That's what the Bible said. That's why I told you to touch your mouth. The big problem is we don't keep the word in our hearts and in our mouths. So we keep, you know, saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, feeling the wrong thing, can't unbridle the body, and then sickness too will come and all of that. You can check all that rubbish out. Now, raise the other hand to God. Put the other hand on your mouth. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that as a New Testament Christian, if I don't offend in word, I become a perfect man and I'm able to control my whole body from sinful stimuli, from sickness, and all of my circumstances will align with your will. I understand this. Father, I also understand that every sin of commission is first of all a sin of omission. Lord, I purpose in my heart, by your mercy and by your grace, not to omit keeping the word in my heart and in my mouth. Not only when I come to church, not only when I'm praying in the morning, but throughout the day. According to your word, that said, this book of the law will not depart out of my mouth, but I will meditate in it day and night. Oh God, by your mercy and by your grace, help me to keep this simple instruction. Keep the word near me, in my heart and in my mouth, throughout the day. Throughout the day, when I get up, when I walk by the way, when I sit down, when I lie down at night, throughout the day, And as I do this, I will become a perfect man, able also to control my body and my circumstances by the power of the fire of heaven of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take your hand off your mouth now so you can pray. In Jesus' name. Put your hands down. Just before I go to sit down, I want to encourage you. And I can use my life and my experience as an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I say the same. Over the years, I have learned, and I'm still learning, to pray all the time. Ask people around me. I talk, I laugh, I joke. I'm a very, very nice social person. So I'm not some aesthetic that lives in a monastery somewhere in the mountain. I'm not like that at all, to the glory of God. But at the same time, I'm a spiritual person. I'm in the car, I'm praying. It's like, then I can stop, talk, take a phone call, crack a joke, whatever. And I go back. I have found the Bible is true. It's not your interpretation of it. Do what it said. Pray without ceasing. I didn't write it. I'm in the airport. The other day I was traveling. I was, you know, and I had to spend 10 hours in Heathrow. You know, I quickly checked in, you know, came out, you know, did all the things on security. I just went to find a quiet place. Just me. It was just me alone, you know. Just praying. You won't know I'm praying. I wasn't so that everybody will know. But the senior pastor is around. That's not what God is talking about. Just quietly, quietly, quietly. You won't even know. And there's a scripture for it. That's what came to my heart. I wanted to share with you. He says that if you're in a place and it says, keep quiet and talk to yourself and God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Quickly give it to me. 14:28. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. It doesn't say silent that there is nothing. It just means that don't be noisy. Let him do what? Speak to himself and to God. Develop it. I've learned it and I'm still learning it. I'm always talking to God. Always. 24/7. I was telling Pastor Boyga the other day. I always have something I'm praying about. I always have. When I finish my some prayer, there's always something else to pray about. And even when there is no particular prayer topic, build yourself up on your most holy faith. For heaven's sake. Amen. Even if you don't have anything that's, you know, okay, I prayed all the things I wanted to pray today. You haven't told. I'm on the computer, I'm praying. That day I prayed for some hours, then I ate a little bit. While I was eating, nobody was serving, I was serving myself. You know, I go and get the cup of water and pray. I sit down, I take one full and I finish the food. Immediately after the food, I'm praying.
You see, we have compartmentalized. I give you that example because in our minds, a religious mindset, we think prayer is just something you do in one when you are really very holy. You know, and when you are in church and the Holy Ghost is doing jim jim. It's a prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a starting point, but that's not where we're going. The secret is this. Always praying all the time. Keep silent and speak to yourself at God. That's why he gave us tongues. See, with tongues, you can do this. Father, I confess my sin. Jesus, name, I have life. When you feel the anointing level go down, draw life. When you feel the anointing level go down, draw life. You know what? I was sharing this with somebody yesterday. Habits are a question of choice. You can decide whatever habit you want to acquire. Do you understand? Yeah, it's just a question. I decide. Of course, God is going to back it with his mercy and grace. But the choice is yours. So I choose. I'm going to pray without ceasing. Then I now develop as a habit. And guess what? Habits determine destiny. Thoughts, words, actions, habits, destiny. That's the sequence. You choose what you think. You choose what you say. Then from what you say, will now determine what you do. And what you do and do constantly become a habit. When it becomes a habit, it will now determine your destiny. God bless you.